time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. Good morning on this Saturday morning. I'm your host, Dajon Hughes, and we're about to go through an hour's worth of sports happening around the state of Michigan. We're going to touch in on the Lions, what happened in their most recent games, what is going to happen for them moving forward, and what kind of magic they need to happen over the next couple of weeks for them to try and squeeze into the playoffs. Then we'll touch on some college football. Michigan season not quite over. The recruiting ranks have already started. Michigan State making big news in the college football headlines with their most recent hire. And then we're going to talk about some things that they need to address heading into the recruiting spin cycle as well. And then, of course, we're going to touch on those Western Michigan Broncos as well, who are on their way to the MAC Conference Championship game today, which is going to be on at noon as soon as we are done speaking here, not on WBCK, but make sure you're checking that out, supporting those Broncos. And then, of course, we got to touch in on those who are rocking out in LCA, Little Caesars Arena, our professional teams over in Detroit, the Pistons and the Red Wings, where their seasons are, what happened over the last week, what we got coming up over the next week for them. And then, of course, we'll end the show out with our picks as always. I'm feeling fantastic. Packers got a big matchup coming up this weekend against the Bears, which we'll talk a ton about later on in the show during our picks, even though you probably know where I'm siding with that. Michigan has a big matchup for basketball later tonight, taking on Rutgers as that basketball team continues to try and have success. And then, of course, I'm loving the Pistons and everything happening there. Lacrosse is back up and running for the winter session. So I am feeling fantastic, as I have also been able to spend some time with my nephew recently, who was just born in November. So I'm at an all-time high, and hopefully you guys are feeling just as good as I am. We're going to dive into this show talking about the Lions first and foremost. They're coming off a loss and a win. Obviously, the last game was a win. They did just lose to the Packers on Thanksgiving, which we talked about a little bit last week. We said they would need to beat the Cowboys on Thursday night if they wanted to have some success moving forward. And beat the Cowboys on Thursday night is exactly what the Lions did. Dak Prescott went 31 of 47 for 376 passing yards, one touchdown, and two interceptions. Javonte Williams has 67 rushing yards on 17 carries and a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb, a gigantic day for the Cowboys as he had six receptions for 121 yards. They also had James Houston get one sack, and Darren Bland had seven tackles, four of them being solo. The Lions, on the other hand, very good offensive day for them. Jared Goff, 25 of 34 for 309 yards and a touchdown. David Montgomery, six carries, 60 yards, averaging 10 yards a carry. And he picked up a touchdown. Jameson Williams goes for seven receptions on 96 yards. Al-Quaydeen Muhammad had three sacks. Jack Campbell does what Jack Campbell does. 12 tackles, six of them being solo. Dallas did outgain the Lions 417 to 408, but Dallas had three turnovers in this game. They had 25 first down in comparison to just 20 for the Lions. Dallas had seven penalties for 76 yards, eight penalties for 50 yards for the Lions. Penalties were a huge problem in this game, as there were 15 accepted penalties on combined in this game. 6 of 15 on third down for Dallas, 3 of 8 for Detroit, 2 for 2 on fourth down for Dallas. Detroit didn't attempt a fourth down play all game. Dallas went 1 for 3 in the red zone. The Lions went 4 for 5. Speaking of the red zone and those scoring plays, Jake Bates got things started with a 38-yard field goal. following him up a 57-yard field goal from Brandon Aubrey. First touchdown of the game belonged to Jahmyr Gibbs right before the end of the first quarter. Lions lead 10-3. Brandon Aubrey cashed in a 42-yard field goal in the second quarter as well, cutting the lead to 4. David Montgomery got his lone touchdown of the day on a 35-yard touchdown run with 4:27 left in the second quarter. Lions lead 17-6. Brandon Aubrey comes back with a 55-yard field goal, cashes that in with 50 seconds left in the second. And then here come the Lions. They scream down the field, and they get Jake Bates a 47-yard field goal opportunity that he cashes in as clock expires. So 20-9 is the halftime lead. Isaac Tislaw had a 12-yard touchdown pass from Jared Goff, and it looked like this game was over. It looked like it was out of reach and that the Lions were going to be able to pack it up and go home with a confident victory. And then here come the Cowboys. It's 27-9 with 14 left in the third quarter. Javonte Williams gets a 1-yard touchdown rush with 10:41 left in the third. Brandon Aubrey launches a 63-yard field goal with 2:49 left in the third, cutting the lead to just 8. 27-19. Jake Bates comes back with a field goal at the beginning of the fourth from 46 out, 30-19. Flournoy had a 42-yard passing touchdown from Dak Prescott. Prescott also connected with Jake Ferguson on the two-point conversion, cutting the lead to 3, 27-30. Jahmyr Gibbs gets his touchdown, second of the day, from 10 out, putting the Lions up 10. Brandon Aubrey comes back with a 29-yard field goal with 3:42 left to cut it to 7. And then Jahmyr Gibbs, again, a third touchdown for him from 13 yards out, with 2:19 left in the fourth to ice the game, putting the Lions up 14, and they would win 44-30. So the Lions by far did their job. They went out and they won a game that they needed to win in convincing fashion. They are now sitting at 8-5, but they need some help moving forward. Looking at the rest of their schedule, it doesn't get any easier here for the Lions. The unfortunate part for the Lions, if they want to be able to make the playoffs, is that they probably have to win out. Okay? They did their job against the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday night. But now, next week on the 14th, when they have to play again, they have to play the Rams at SoFi Stadium out in Los Angeles. That's going to be a tough game. The Rams are 9-3 at the moment, and they're no slouch of a team. Matthew Stafford, Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Blake Corum, and company is coming. They're ready, and they've been playing football at an unreal level throughout this season. The Steelers, a little bit of comeback-to-earth reality moment. They're 6-6 at the moment. They have a huge game with the Ravens this week to figure out who's going to have the number one spot in that division. So they may be maybe beat up, or maybe they'll be on the down spiral after losing, or maybe they'll have a ton of momentum moving forward and feeling good after picking up a win against the Steelers, the Ravens. That's a matchup that I believe the Lions should have in their bag, but it'll one, you know, to watch out for. And then their last two games of the year are at Vikings, at Bears. So three of their last four games are on the road. Two of those last four, technically three of those last four, are against teams that have 500 or winning records. And then one of them is against a losing record team that you did already lose to this year by 3 at home. And now you got to go play them on the road. So these four games by far are not a shoe-in for the Lions. I don't even think the Vikings and Bears are shoe-ins, because they're divisional games at the end of the season. They're going to matter for playoff seeding and who gets in the playoffs and all of these other crazy end of the season scenarios. And then you still got to play the Steelers and Rams in there. First off, you got to play Aaron Rodgers, who, I mean, has had your number multiple times before in his career, especially when he's playing with the Green Bay Packers. And then you got to go play your former quarterback in Matthew Stafford, who knows what it feels like to play for the Detroit Lions. By no means is this even close to an easy stretch for the Lions. But as I mentioned, they're going to need some help as well if they want to get in. Speaking of that help, looking at the division standings, they're technically in third place. They're a half game behind Green Bay. And then obviously the Bears are sitting atop at 9-3. So you would need Green Bay to, or you would need the Bears to sweep Green Bay. Then you would need to beat the Vikings and beat the Bears in order to win the division while also winning out, as I mentioned before. It's a ton of help that you need in the division. What if you just want to make the playoffs across the conference? Well, looking at the conference, the Lions are currently sitting in eighth place. They are a game behind the San Francisco 49ers, who are 9-4, who are directly above them in the seventh seed. And then obviously the Packers and the Seahawks are the rest of the wild card at 8-3-1 for the Packers and 9-3 for the Seahawks. So you need either the 49ers or the Packers or the Bears to lose three games, and then you got to win out. Maybe you can get away with a loss in there. There's no easy way for the Lions to get into the playoffs. But the cool thing is the Rams, the Seahawks, and the 49ers have a couple games against each other. The Packers still have to play the Bears twice. So either one of them could get shuffled around and moved out of there. The Lions still have a chance to play the Bears. Right. So these teams that are above them still have some very tough games in front of them. No one has a shoe-in schedule in front of them. Everybody has to go out and play tough opponents in order to solidify their playoff spot. The Lions are in no different. There are only five teams that have been eliminated from playoff contention: the Raiders, the Titans, the Cardinals, the Saints, and the Giants. Obviously, the Falcons, the Vikings, the Commanders, the Browns, and the Jets, the Bengals are all close to being eliminated as well, but they have not quite reached that moment just yet. So, I mean, the bigger thing for the Lions is you have to handle what's in front of you first, and that is your own schedule. You got to go on the road, and you got to beat the Rams, which we won't talk a ton about that this week because we can get into that next week, but you got to go out and beat the Rams, who have played fantastic footballs so far. But then, like I said, you still need help. That is the thing that sucks for Lions fans and their team moving forward, is that they don't have control this year like they've had the past 2 years. It's not just, hey, let's win the games in front of us and we're in, or let's win two or three more games, then we can rest a couple guys because we got our playoff spot already. That is not this Lions team. This Lions team is on their knuckles. This Lions team has to go out and win every single game that's in front of them, and then they have to pray and hope and watch other games and root against other teams to also lose to give themselves a better chance. Unfortunately, that's what it is for them, but in the game of sports, you never, ever, ever, ever want to be in a scenario where you're asking other teams to go out and beat teams for you. How do you know that that team even wants you to be in the playoffs? How do you know that that team isn't going to face some injuries and now they're losing a game that you needed them to win? What hurts even more than not being in control of your own destiny is doing everything that you can do on your side and then some other team not being able to go out and get the job done for you. That hurts. And it's going to make you really think twice about what it is that you have been doing all season and what it is that you have going on in your locker room in order to have some success. So that's where the Lions may be. There is a very real scenario in front of us. There are multiple timelines where the Lions go out and beat the Rams, the Lions go out and beat the Steelers, and then they go out and beat the Vikings and the Bears in the last 2 weeks, which puts them at 12-5. And you know what else? They could miss the playoffs at 12-5. There's a reality where the Lions miss the playoffs at 12-5 after winning out based on what happens around them. That is awful. To have lose five games and you don't make the playoffs because other teams around you won more games, or didn't lose as many games, I should say, really, because at the end of the day, they could be 12-5 and not make the playoffs because the Packers are ahead of them and have a half-game lead because of a tie. It's unreal the things that could happen for the Lions. Like I said, their main focus is that they got to go out and win the games that are in front of them. That is it. And then you let everybody else handle everything behind that. So in my opinion, I think the Lions have a chance, but you definitely need a lot of help. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking Michigan, Michigan State, and Western Michigan football. What Michigan's bowl opponent will look like, what's coming up for Michigan State in the offseason, and then Western Michigan's MAC Conference Championship. But that's when we come back from the break with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating. Your kidneys could keep filtering. And your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. Just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Mike Rowe on the skills gap and how a student organization known as Skills USA is trying to fill it.
So the thing about Skills USA that's so cool, and the reason that my foundation has supported it for years, is that it's deliberately and intentionally focused on celebrating a skill. 3 million jobs right now exist in the trades and transportation and commerce. The skills gap is real. Training kids and getting them excited to do the jobs that exist ought to be job one. Skills USA does that in a big way. It's about excellence and competition and being good at what you do, and eventually through all of that, learning who you are. Skills USA is working.
Learn more at microworks.com and skillsusa.org.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we are getting back here to Mid Madness, where we're going to be talking about college football. Michigan, Michigan State, Western Michigan is where we will be starting, though. The Broncos are headed out to Ford Field today. They're playing at noon. The game will be on ESPN. They're taking on the Miami of Ohio Redhawks. If anybody remembers, they were the lone team to give Western a MAC conference loss back on October 25th. Western ended up losing this game 26-17. Looking back at that game really quickly, it was 26-17. Western had control of this game. They started with a Dom Ziobon field goal for the Redhawks. He had another field goal at the start of the second quarter. Western down 6-0. Then Talik Williams caught a 43-yard touchdown pass from Brock Lowry, put Western up 7-6. Ziobon had another field goal, 9-7. And then right before halftime, Michael Brashia had a 2-yard run, putting Western up 14-9. Then Palmer Domski comes out for a 42-yard field goal, puts Western up 17-9. And then all hell broke loose. Brian Shane had a 3-yard touchdown pass from Daquan Finn. 2-point conversion failed. Western up 17-15. Daquan Finn, an 18-yard touchdown run. And then they got a 2-point conversion to Cam Perry. Miami, Ohio up 23-17. Then Ziobon, a 51-yard field goal with 1:56 left, gave Miami the win 26-17. But now they're going to be faring in neutral territory at Ford Field noon. They're giving Western a 51% chance to win. They're giving Miami, Ohio a 49% chance to win. It's on ESPN. Western is 1.5-point favorites. 43.5 sits on the over-under. Negative 122 on the money line, plus 102 for Miami. If you think I'm going against the Broncos after the season that they've had, you are crazy. I'm hoping that this is able to boost them into a nice conference championship win into a nice bowl game. And then we can talk about the MAC being a very competitive conference again, and maybe they're able to wiggle in and be one of those group of five champions that ends up being in the college football playoff one day. That is something to look forward to in the future. But at the current moment, Western is going to be on the outside looking in for the playoff, even if they win this game. But winning this game gives them a better bowl game plus a conference championship, which always helps in recruiting. So go Broncos later today and get your revenge against the Redhawks, which I'm sure is something that they had their eye on as the season was dwindling down and they were looking at who would possibly be in the MAC conference championship. I'm rocking with the brown and gold, and hopefully you are too. Before we get into bad news, we'll keep the good news going. Unfortunately, Michigan is coming off of a loss in their final game of the season to Ohio State. They lost to the Buckeyes 27-9, which, if you ask me as a Michigan fan, this game could have gone far worse. I think the defense could have given up a lot more points than they did end up giving up. The offense had its struggles throughout not only this game, but the season in general. And, you know, Ohio State's happy that they won. It is what it is. Not a big deal for me. I didn't feel like Michigan was going to win this year. I just had my hopes up, and it came crashing down. That's okay. Julian saying 19 of 26, three touchdowns, one interception for 233 passing yards. Bryce Underwood goes 63 passing yards, one interception, 8 of 18. Bo Jackson had 22 carries for 117 rushing yards. Jordan Marshall, 61 rushing yards on 7 carries. Carnell Tate, 82 receiving yards on 5 receptions and a touchdown. Donovan McCulley, 46 receiving yards on 3 receptions. Kenyatta Jackson Jr. had 1 sack, and Sonny Styles, 6 tackles, 3 of them solo. No sacks for Michigan. Jimmy Rolder, 12 tackles, 6 of them being solo. Ohio State outgained Michigan 419-163. One turnover apiece, 22 first downs for Ohio State, just 9 for Michigan. Only 1 penalty for 3 yards against Michigan, 6 penalties for 72 yards against Ohio State, 10 for 17 on third down for Ohio State, 1 for 3 for Michigan, 2 for 3 on fourth down for Ohio State, 0 for 1 for Michigan. I mean, scoring is pretty simple here. Zavada, 45-yard field goal. Zavada, 25-yard field goal. Jaden Fielding, 24-yard field goal, 6-3 after 1. Jeremiah Smith caught a 35-yard touchdown pass from Julian Sain, 10-6 Ohio State, and they did not look back. Zavada cashes in a field goal, and Michigan doesn't score again as Brandon Ennis had a 4-yard touchdown pass before halftime. 17-9 Ohio State. Carnell Tate caught a 50-yard touchdown pass. 24-9 Ohio State after 3. And then Fielding cashes in a field goal in the fourth quarter, pushing it to 27. And that would be your final score. Michigan, that caps off their regular season. No Big Ten championship game for them. But they will be rolling into a bowl game, which I don't believe that they have put out any type of bowl game announcements yet. But there are some projections, and I'm going to try and see if I can track down where they believe Michigan will be playing this year. They believe Michigan will play in the Citrus Bowl on December 31st against Vanderbilt. This will be essentially just like the ReliaQuest Bowl that they played last year against Alabama that they ended up winning. In the ReliaQuest Bowl this year, they have Illinois and Tennessee. And then it looks like maybe Las Vegas. The Las Vegas Bowl will be Iowa against Utah, possibly, for the Big Ten Pac-12. The Holiday Bowl, possibly going to have Pittsburgh and Washington. And then they're looking at Music City Bowl having Nebraska and LSU. Those are some of those games that are thrown out there at the moment. And I don't see anything for Western quite yet. It looks like they're going to have Central Michigan play Troy in the Salute to Veterans game. Toledo's going to play UNLV in the Idaho Bowl. They have Miami of Ohio playing Fresno State in the Arizona Bowl. But I'm not seeing Western on here, which I find to be weird, first off. at 8-4, and they definitely should have a bowl game. But, you know, we'll come back to that once these are official. These are just projections. So as we learn more about those bowl games, we'll keep you updated. That's all for Michigan for now. Michigan State, they did just hire a new coach after letting go of Jonathan Smith at the end of last week. The weird thing is they let him go after a win. Michigan State did not go winless in the Big Ten this year. They were able to scrape up a win in their last game of the year. They took on the Maryland Terrapins, who were 4-7 coming into the game. They were 1-7 in the Big Ten. Michigan State was 3-8 coming into the game, and they were 0-8 in the Big Ten. Michigan State comes out with the 38-28 victory. This is how it went down. Malik Washington had himself a day, regardless of what happened. 38 of 61, 459 passing yards for 3 touchdowns and an interception. DeJuan Williams had 52 rushing yards for 5 carries and a touchdown. Shalik Knotts had 8 receptions for 139 receiving yards and a touchdown. No sacks for the Terrapins. And Jalen Husky had 9 tackles, 7 of them being solo. For Michigan State, Alessio Milivojevic had 27 of 39 for 292 passing yards, 4 touchdowns and an interception. Elijah Tolliver, 95 rushing yards on 13 carries. Nick Marsh, who is transferring out of Michigan State, has already put his name in the transfer portal. 7 receptions, 85 receiving yards, and 1 touchdown. Quindarius Dunnigan had a sack, and Aiden West had 8 tackles, 6 of them being solo. Maryland outgained Michigan State 534 to 453, 1 turnover apiece, 26 first downs, 26 and 24 on the first downs in favor of Maryland, 8 penalties for 75 yards for Maryland, 7 penalties for 50 yards for Michigan State, 9 of 16 and 5 of 14 Maryland, Michigan State respectively on third down, 0 for 2 and 1 for 1 Maryland, Michigan State respectively on fourth down. Looking at the scoring plays, Kai Rios had a 1-yard touchdown pass from Milivojevic to start the game off. 7-0 Michigan State after 1. Martin Connington, 25-yard field goal, puts Michigan State up 10. Nick Marsh then comes back with, there must have been a, there must have been some confusion here on the scoreboard, because for some reason the scoring plays are mixed up. Nick Marsh goes 15-yard touchdown pass from Alessio Milivojevic. Michigan State up 17-0. Jalen Farouk had a 7-yard touchdown pass from Malik Washington to put Maryland on the board. Jake Velling had a 9-yard touchdown pass from Alessio Milivojevic. It's 24-7 at halftime. And then here comes Maryland. DeJuan Williams, a 5-yard touchdown run, makes the score 24-14. Shalik Knotts, 25-yard touchdown pass from Malik Washington, makes it 21-24. And then here comes Michigan State again. Alante Brown, a 92-yard kickoff return touchdown, puts Michigan State back up 10. Jalen Farouk had a 24-yard touchdown pass from Malik Washington, putting Maryland down just 3. And then here comes Michigan State at the end of the fourth quarter, 1:56 remaining, scores with a 10-yard pass to Amari Kelly. They win 38-28. They fire Jonathan Smith shortly after, and they hire Pat Fitzgerald, who came over from Northwestern. He had success with Northwestern. He was able to finish his career there with over twice as many wins as any other coach, but he did have the whole scandal with the hazing allegations happening at the end of his career over there. So is this the right choice for Michigan State? Only time will tell. We'll talk more about college football next week. When we come back from the break, we'll be touching on the Pistons and the Red Wings here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblindness.org.
Welcome back into Mid-Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes. We're going to dive into Little Caesars Arena, also known as the home of the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Pistons. We'll start with the Red Wings first, excuse me. Looking at our leaders first before we dive into anything else. Dylan Larkin has 15 goals, four of them on the power play on 94 shots. Lucas Raymond has 21 assists, eight on the power play, a plus minus of six. And Dylan Larkin still leads the team with 31 points. He's got 16 assists to go with his 15 goals. 3.04 goals per game for this team. They're giving up 3.46 per game, which is good for 27th in the league. 23.7% on the power play, good for 7th in the league. And then their penalty kill is 77.6, which is good for 24th in the league. Obviously, the defense and the goaltending is where the issues have come. Cam Talbot up to a 3.01 goals against average. He has 45 goals he's given up on 387 shots. He has 342 saves, save percentage of .884. And he also has 9 wins, all of those leading the team for the goaltending statistics. Going to take a peek over at the standings as well. Looking first in the Atlantic Division, Tampa Bay is at the top, 16-9-2 with 34 total points. Second place, the Boston Bruins, who are 16-13, no overtime losses with 32 points. The Montreal Canadiens sitting in third place with 14-9-3 for 31 points, actually tied for third place. Are the Red Wings at 14-11-3 for 31 points. The Senators right behind at 13-10-4 for 30 points. And then the Maple Leafs are 13-11-3 for 29 points. And then the Florida Panthers and Sabres both have 26 points. They're 12-12-2, 11-12-4 respectively. Looking at the conference as a whole, the Red Wings are near the bottom of the Eastern Conference. They're fifth from the bottom in the Eastern Conference. The Washington Capitals at the top, 17-9-2 with 36 points. In the league overall, the Red Wings also struggling there, finding themselves in the middle of the pack with those 31 points. Vancouver is at the bottom along with Calgary and Nashville. 23 points for Vancouver. Nashville and Calgary have 24. At the top of the league, Colorado with 44 points at 19-2-6. And then the Dallas Stars are 18-5-5 with 41 points. So, I mean, the Red Wings definitely have their work cut out for them, some work to do. But I think they should focus on the Atlantic Division where they're hanging around. They're 3 points back from winning the division and being the leader. So don't worry so much about the big picture NHL as a whole. More so the Atlantic Division and where you stand there. Their next couple of games are sort of favorable to them. I mean, the last time we talked, they were coming off their loss to Nashville. They ended up losing to Tampa Bay 6-3. Then they lost to Boston 3-2 in a shootout, so that they did pick up a win there in that overtime loss. And then they beat Boston the next time they played on Tuesday, December 2nd. 5-4, and then they just lost a game Thursday to Columbus 6-5 in a shootout. So another overtime loss there to pick up a point. So that's not terrible. But they're on the road. That game Thursday was on the road. Now they're going to play at Seattle later today at 10 p.m. Then they're going to play at Vancouver on Monday at 10 p.m. Then they're going to play at Calgary on Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. At Edmonton, going on a little bit of a Canadian road trip here at 9 p.m. on Thursday, December 11th. And then next Saturday, they'll play at Chicago at 8 p.m. to then end their road trip before they come back home for a couple of games. Like I said, some favorable games in here for them to be able to sneak a couple wins. I mean, Seattle's played okay so far this season. As I mentioned, Calgary's near the bottom. Calgary and Vancouver are two of the three worst teams in the league at the moment. Edmonton hasn't played fantastic hockey. They're somewhere in the middle. Chicago hasn't been great. So there's five games in front of you where you're playing average or not great teams. You got to go out and win these games to keep yourself near the top of that Atlantic Division and to you know, find yourself in the mix toward the end of the season. I think that's the cool thing about, you know, professional sports and really just sports in general is just you got to be in the mix at the end and then you make your push. And once you're in the playoffs, anything can happen. That's got to be the mentality that the Red Wings have about this moving forward. Touching on the other team that plays inside Little Caesars Arena and calls it home, it is the Detroit Pistons. Cade Cunningham leads the team with 27.6 points per game and 36.7 minutes and 45.2% shooting. He also has 9.2 assists with just 4.1 turnovers. Still leading the team in shooting is Jalen Duren, 65.7% from the field for 19 points and 29.1 minutes per game. 118.3 points per game, 49.6 rebounds per game, and 26 assists. Duncan Robinson is day-to-day. Sasser and Klintman are still out. Looking at some of the defensive stats, 11.5 rebounds, 7.1 on the defensive end, 4.4 on the offensive end for Jalen Duren. 1.7 steals, 1.5 turnovers, and 21.2 minutes for Ron Holland. And Isaiah Stewart has 1.9 blocks, 0.2 steals, and 6.4 rebounds a game. Standing-wise, Pistons look fantastic. They're at the top of the Eastern Conference at 17-5. 2.5 games above both the Knicks and Raptors, who are 14-7 and 15-8, respectively. Looking at the division, they're 4.5 games above the Cavaliers, who are 13-10. 7.5 games above the Bucks, who are 10-13. 7.5 above the Bulls, who are 9-12. And then the Pacers, 13 back at 4-18. The league overall, the Pistons are still in second, just a half game above the Lakers, who are 16-5. 4 games back from the leaders, the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are 21-1 and currently on a 10-game win streak. Your Pistons are 7-3 in their last 10. The Lakers are 8-2. Surprisingly, the Houston Rockets and the Boston Celtics are also 8-2 in their last 10. A couple more 7-3s and 6-4s mixed in there as well. The Pistons, last time we talked, were coming off a win. They had just lost to the Celtics. They turned around and lost to the Magic as well, 112-109 in another NBA Cup game. So they're now 2-2 in the NBA Cup, which is going to make things interesting for that group play. Then they went out and they beat the Heat 138-135 the very next day after playing the Magic. And then they beat the Hawks by 198-99. Then they just lost to the Bucks 133-109. They played last night against the Trailblazers, as you know, record on Friday, so I'm not able to give you anything from that game. But their next game moving forward over the next week, they have Milwaukee tonight at 7:30 p.m., a chance for them to get some revenge for what just happened on the road at FISERV Forum. Then they have to play Atlanta next Friday, and then they'll play the following Monday against Boston, looking to get revenge against them as well, as they ended their winning streak at 13 back on November 26th. So, I mean, hey, the Pistons have been playing great ball. There's nothing that says that they should change anything. Couple of losses, you know, in the recent games don't mean anything, especially when you only have five on the year. You're second in the entire league. You're first in the Eastern Conference. I don't see any reason to complain about anything whatsoever. I like everything the Pistons have. Their only problem is they're going to have to figure out how to mesh the lineups and keep everybody fresh and what the rotation is going to be as they become healthy. But we'll talk more about Little Caesars Arena next week with the Red Wings and the Pistons. When we come back from the break, we're getting into our picks with more Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket.
It's lunchtime, and as noisy as this school cafeteria is, it's also the scene of a quiet food revolution, where kids cut in line for crisp cucumbers and call dibs on crunchy apples for dessert. How come? The American Planning Association invites you to find out at planning.org. That's planning.org. Learn how planning is transforming the idea of greener, healthier communities into the reality of sustaining places. Public service of this station and the American Planning Association.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we are about to get into the picks. One of my favorite parts of the show. You can play along with the picks in the Ticket app. Head on over to the Ticket app, click that chat feature, listen for the picks, listen to me deliberate, decide, do your own research, make your picks and submit them into the chat feature and see if you know ball better than me. Granted, not too many people know ball better than me. I do a pretty good job of doing my research and picking some solid games. So you have your chance to see if you can do as well as I do or even better. In fact, speaking of me and how well I can do, your boy went 5-1 last week. I had a fantastic picking week for myself. The 1L, as we all know, was my beloved Michigan Wolverines. They did drop to Ohio State, but Miami took care of Pittsburgh. Vandy had no problems with Tennessee. The Bills mopped the floor with the Steelers. The Pistons took care of the Heat, and the T-Wolves beat the Celtics. So 5-1, bouncing up to 59-31 in this variation of picks. And we're on to a new week of picks. We got six wonderful football games loaded up for this week of picks. We're going to be starting in the NFL ranks and work our way back into college as we have conference championships games going on. And that is what I want the main focus to be. The first game of the week is going to be Monday Night Football, which will be here, played on the Ticket, December 8th, 8:15 p.m. ABC and ESPN. 58.5% chance for the Eagles to win, 41.2% chance for the Chargers to win. The Eagles are 2.5-point favorites, 41.5 on the over-under, -148 money line for the Eagles, +124 for the Chargers. Now, big caveat in this game, Justin Herbert expects to play with a broken hand, but the Chargers and Eagles plan for contingencies. They had to adjust on the fly after Herbert broke a bone in his non-throwing hand last Sunday, but they believe that he'll be good to go and will play through it this week. That's something to keep an eye on throughout this game. In the last five, the Eagles are 3-2. Wins over the Giants, Green Bay, and Detroit. Losses to Dallas and Chicago. Meanwhile, the Chargers have wins over Minnesota, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, and Las Vegas, with one loss to Jacksonville, 35-6 in their last five. Chargers are 5-2 at home. The Eagles are 4-2 on the road. They're both 8-4. This is going to be a blockbuster game. Los Angeles is trying to work their way into that division lead. It's currently held by Denver, who's 10-2. The Eagles are trying to hold on to their division lead. Dallas is 6-6-1, and they're 8-4. I'm going to roll with the Eagles to go into SoFi Stadium in Inglewood and come out with a victory Monday night, which could be up in the air as the Eagles have not played great football as of late, but I do like them to bounce back in this game. Moving on to the next NFL matchup, we have the Colts going against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Colts, who are 8-4, are playing the 8-4 Jacksonville Jaguars. 2-3 on the road are the Colts. The Jaguars are 4-2 at home. It's a 1 p.m. game on CBS. 55.2% chance for the Colts, 44.4% chance for Jacksonville. The Colts are 1.5-point favorites, 47.5 on the over under, 125 on the money line for the Colts, +105 for Jacksonville. The Colts 3-2 or 2-3 in their last five. They have an overtime win over Atlanta and a win over Tennessee, 7-point loss to Pittsburgh, an overtime loss by 3 to Kansas City, and a 4-point loss to Houston. Jacksonville on the other side, 4-1 with a 3-point win over Arizona in overtime, a 1-point win over Vegas in overtime, a 35-6 win over the Chargers, 25-3 over Tennessee, and then they lost by 7 to Houston. Both these teams losing to Houston soon. This is an interesting matchup as this is for the division title, basically, or the division lead, excuse me. They're both 8-4. Houston's at 7-5, so they're still in the mix as well. Both of these teams playing well. Indianapolis has put up far more points this season than Jacksonville, 357 to 292. Jacksonville only given up 253, so their defense has really played phenomenal this season. But in that same token, so is Indianapolis, who's only given up 249. I'm going to roll with the numbers. It looks like the Colts have a little bit of an advantage here, even though they're going on the road and they've had some struggles in their last five games. This is another good bounce back game for them. That must be the vibe this week, is bounce back games. So I'm going with Indianapolis to get a bounce back win over the Jaguars on the road at Everbank Stadium in Jacksonville. Last NFL game of the week. It's my beloved Packers. They're taking on the Chicago Bears, that terrible team down south. Oh, never liked the Bears. The Bears are 9-3, though. They're doing their thing this year. I won't fret on that. They're 5-2 on the road. 4-2 at home are the Green Bay Packers. They're 8-3-1 on the season. 425 on Fox. Chicago is a 30.7% chance to win. Green Bay, a whopping 69% chance. They're 6.5-point favorites, 44.5 on the over-under, negative 325 on that money line, plus 260 for the Bears. Josh Jacobs is questionable in this game, so is Dontavian Wicks. So that's some things to look at. Rome Odunze, Kyle McGonigay, and Tyreek Stevenson are all questionable for the Bears as well. The Bears are 5-0 in their last five. They beat the Eagles, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, the Giants, and Cincinnati. Packers 3-2. They got losses to the Eagles by 3 and Carolina by 3. Then they have wins over the Giants, Minnesota, and Detroit. This is a blockbuster game. This is basically for the conference lead as well. So many conference leads going up for battle this week in the NFL. It is fantastic. There's another one happening with Pittsburgh and the Ravens this week as well. So that's something to keep your eye on. I'm not going to pick that game. If I did, I would probably pick Pittsburgh, and that would make Jacob happy. But as Chicago sitting at 9-3 and the Packers at 8-3-1, the winner of this game leads the NFC North. And if you think that the Bears are coming into Lambeau Field in Green Bay and leaving with a victory, you're crazy. Some other caveat news about this is the Bears have never beaten the Packers twice in a calendar year. They won back in week 17 or 18 of last season in January. So if they win this week or in 2 weeks, they would have done something they have never done before. I don't think this Packer team wants to be in history. Give me Jordan Love and the Packers to have a victory at home over those dreaded Chicago Bears. That's going to move us on into the college ranks. It is college football championship weekend. I already told you I want Western to win the MAC championship. We're going to start in the Big 12 championship, which is also at noon tomorrow. ABC, the 11th ranked BYU Cougars, who are 11-1, going against the 4th ranked Texas Tech Raiders, who are also 11-1. They're only giving BYU a 33.4% chance, 66.6 for Texas Tech. This game is going to be at AT&T Stadium at Arlington, Texas. We talked about both of these teams a number of times this season. We're just going to look at their last five and then go over those numbers in just a second. BYU is 4-1 in their last five. They had the one loss to Texas Tech back on November 8th, 29-7. They beat Iowa State, TCU, Cincinnati, and UCF. Texas Tech is 5-0. They have beat West Virginia, UCF, BYU, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. The numbers say Texas Tech is a 12.5-point favorite, 49.5 on the over-under, negative 535 on the money line, plus 400 for BYU. Those numbers are too much to ignore. And in fact, I ignored those numbers earlier on this season, and I went with BYU to beat Texas Tech. And as you heard, Texas Tech demolished them 29-7. I'm not going to make that mistake twice, although it is hard to beat a team twice or three times in a season. When the numbers look like that, it's hard to go against it. I'm going to take Texas Tech to take down BYU and to become the Big 12 champion, and most likely have a bye in the college football playoff. Coming up, it's the Big Ten Championship. Indiana, Ohio State, 1-2, both 12-0, 8 p.m. on Fox. 50.6% chance for Indiana, 49.4% chance for Ohio State. This game will be at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. They're making the game odds are interesting, though, because they say Ohio State is a 4-point favorite, 47.5 on the over-under, -198 for the money line, +164 for Indiana. Indiana 5-0, as we know. Purdue, Wisconsin, Penn State, Maryland, UCLA, their most recent opponents. Ohio State, Michigan, Rutgers, UCLA, Purdue, Penn State. So basically the same schedule. One team is different on either side. Both of them winning big in much of their games. Kurt Cignetti has been doing his thing for a minute. But this is another one of those years that I think Ohio State is simply just a little bit different than everyone else. And as much as I don't want to pick them to win this game, I'm picking them to become Big Ten champions. But both of these teams will be making the college football playoff, and I'll be rooting for Indiana in the long run. And trust me, if Indiana come out and wins this game and I have a loss on my record in these books, I'll be happy because, hey, go Hoosiers, and I don't like Ohio State for anything in me. But logic is logic. Our last game of the week is a game that's happening down in the SEC. The SEC Championship game, 4 p.m. on ABC. It also will be here on 95.3 The Ticket. 11-1 are the Georgia Bulldogs, the third-ranked team in the country. Ninth-ranked team, Alabama Crimson Tide, are 10-2. 48.9% chance for Georgia, 51.1% chance for Alabama. Georgia 2.5-point favorites, 48.5 on the over-under, -135 on the money line, +114 for Alabama. Bama has one loss to Oklahoma. They beat Auburn, EIU, LSU, and South Carolina. Georgia beat Georgia Tech, Charlotte, Texas, Mississippi State, and Florida in their last five. This game's going to be blockbuster. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia. So basically a built-in home game for Georgia. I think Georgia knows what's on their hands. They have the opportunity to knock Alabama out of the college football playoff, and I think they're going to take that strongly with them, and they're going to run with it. I'm going to take the Georgia Bulldogs to take down the Alabama Crimson Tide, and Alabama's going to be on the outside looking in again for the college football playoff at 10-3, and Georgia will claim the SEC championship and a bye. So that's going to get us into the weekend with me taking Georgia, Texas Tech, Ohio State, the Green Bay Packers, Philadelphia Eagles, and the Indianapolis Colts on 95.3 The Ticket later today, 4 p.m. We're going to have the SEC championship between the Georgia Bulldogs and the Alabama Crimson Tide. And then coming up tomorrow, 8:20 p.m., we'll have the Texans and the Chiefs popping on for Sunday night football. And then we'll have the Monday night football game on between the Eagles and the Chargers for our final game of the week. We'll see you next week with more sports here on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.